We learned the Gemara Kuvdeis on the base, but the Gemara referred to a Machlokes Reb Meir and a Chachamim. The Gemara is going to elaborate on it some more. With respect to the Pasuk in Yecheskel, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the baby, Klal Yisrael, at the time of its Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he took care of everything the baby needs, and he put on shoes made from Or Tachash and Olach Tachash. So that was the Machlokes HaTanoim. Does it mean that you need dafke leather? Does it mean that anything that's megan, anything that protects the foot? So that's a Machlokes. That's negiyat to Yom Kippur, it's negiyat to Chalitza, it's negiyat to Tisha B'Av, it's negiyat to Avelus. One in the middle of Shibbet, not allowed to wear nidlas asandal. What about sneakers? So the meaning is lahakel, that sneakers are not considered shoes, because we're machmer by chalitza, you need dafke now, you need dafke leather. So that the Gemara is going to discuss that a little further. So we got to about 20 lines in. So Gemara says, Anu Shaila. The pasuk says, by chalitza, v'chol tzanalo me'al raglo. So the Gemara asks, Omale Rav Kahana l'Shmuel. He asks Shmuel a question, how do you know me, my? How do you know that what it means is to remove the shoe? That's what we do chalitza. The yavama removes the right shoe from the right foot of the yavam. How do you know that the word chalitza means mishlav, to take off? Dichsiv, as it's based on a Hebrew word in the pasuk v'cholzu v'chilza, so avonim ashebohen hanaga. There's a din of tzaras. There's tzaras odom, then there's tzaras begodim, and then there's tzaras batim. So tzaraz batim, sometimes if the tzaraz, negative tzaraz recurs, you have to knock down the whole building. And sometimes if it doesn't recur, you have to just take a v'chiltza sa'abonim shevrein ha'negah, you remove. V'chiltza means to remove the abonim from the building, the rest of the building remains. You have to take it mi'chutz lo'ir. That's how the posuk says, v'chiltza sa'abonim, and v'hotziyos mi'chutz lo'ir. It's an interesting din, that the a metzora is mishtaleh chutz l'sholosh machnas. The Gemara says in the Midbar there were gimel machnas. There was machne shchina, that was the azora. There was machne levia, where the levim lived around oil moed, and then there was machne yisrael, the whole area where all the shvatim were. So the pasuk in Parshas Naso has the mitzvah of shiluach temeim and a machne. The word machne appears there three times. I said the pasuk only says once machne, but the other pasuk has three times, and then it mentions three different tmeim. So the Gemara says the word machne is repeated three times, is alluding to the three machnes. So the machne Israel, and then in the Beis Hamikdash Ledoyrois. So the whole city Yerushalayim corresponds to Machne Yisrael, and the Harabais corresponds to the Machne Levia, and the Azara, that's Machne Shechina. So in the Machne Shechina, thank you very much, in the Machne Shechina, no Tomei is permitted to enter, even if he's only a Tomei Mace. There are two different types of Tumas. There's a Tuma that develops in the person, that's Tuma Hayotza Ola Migufay. A person becomes a zava, nidi, aledis, metzora, the tumor develops yesh meyayin. And then there's a tumor, you makabal tumor, and bibachutz, let's say you have a dead body. So you attend a funeral. So the mace is avi avoisa tumor, and you attend a funeral, so you're makabal tumor from the mace. Or you have the shmona shvatz mahamur and batorah, the eight rodents that are listed off in the chumash. So it's an avhatumah, so if you touch it, you become a rishon l'tumah. If a person is a zav, I touch that person, so the tumah is transmitted to me. So that's tumas magua. So with respect to entering the azorah, so the Gemara says, tomei lo nafesh, any tomei, even if it's only tumas magua, he was mekabel tumah from the mace, he's not allowed to enter the azorah. as far as Harabais is concerned, it's only Zav or any Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufoy. Any of those, the Zav, Zav, and Nidia, Letus, and Metzora, and Balkari is a question. The Gemara Yum, and the first parak has a discussion. There's a Balkari also b'machna Levia. So the Gemara's maskana is that yes, a Balkari is also b'machna Levia because a Balkari is a Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufoy. And there seem to be other Tanoim and other Rishayim who hold not so. It is not a Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufoy, it's a Tumah Smaga. The Shichva Zera itself is an apatuma, and the Balkari becomes a Rishon Tumah. When the Keri leaves his body, so then it's Metamehim. So that's a big, that some many claim that that's a Machlekes HaTanoim, and a question in the Rishonim. How to pass him whether Balkari is a Tumah Yotza L'Megufo or it's a Tumah Smago. And then the rest of Yerushalayim, that's only if you have the highest level of Tumah. That's Metzora. Metzora is considered the highest level of Tumah. So Metzora is not allowed to enter Yerushalayim or any of the other Ayoras HaMekav, Yischon, Maish, Yishuv, Menun. All Ayoras, all of Eretz Yisrael has a level of Kedusha. That's a Mishnah in the first parak in Kelim. As the Kedusha saying, the 10 levels of Kedushas HaOretz. So the first level is all of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Mekodeshes Mekol HaRotzes, Shemivim Imenu HaOymer Shtei Alechem. Oymer Shtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Mishnah says, Ayoras HaMekav, Yischon, Maish, Yishuv, Menun, have a slightly higher level than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that the Mitzarayim are not allowed to enter any of the Ayoras HaMekav Yischon. And then a higher level of that is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, not only Mitzarayim are not allowed to enter, but you eat Kochim Kalim in Yerushalayim, you eat Maaseh Sheni Kochim Kalim in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah lists off the Esek Dushas, the 10th level. The Mishnah never says that all the, what if you have cities in Eretz Yisrael that are not Mukav Chayim Maaseh Yishuv Menun? Do the cities have a higher level of Kedusha than the farms? One would have thought the cities have prostitutes there, and they have movie houses, and they have all, and they have all cult, they have all kinds of professors that are teaching up your courses. You would think the cities are worse than the farms. So the Torah's Kohanim says on this pasuk, so it says the Rash HaMishnayis quotes it that the din is Michutz Lo'ir, even if it's not Ayoras HaMekavos Chomos Yishuv Menun. A person who is a Metzora is permitted to enter Ayoras and Eretz Yisrael, just not allowed to enter Ayoras HaMekavos Chomos Yishuv Menun. But an Eben HaMenugas, you have to remove from all the cities in Eretz Yisrael. The city, the regular city, is not Mukav Chayma. There's no Chayma at all. The cities in Eretz Yisrael have a special, a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that you're not allowed to leave an Eben HaMenugas. So what's the definition of a city? If a Mukav Chayma, okay, so you have a wall around the city. What's the definition of a city? So the Mishnayos have an Erevin, and there's such a Mishnah in Erechin also. Mishnah says if you have to have Gimel Chatzeres, a Chatzer means an area that Mukav Chayma, Mukav HaMechitza, and you have at least two batim open up. Let's say you have a hallway in an apartment building. So you have two, if you have two apartments on one floor, so each of Reuben's family lives there, Shimon's family lives there, and they share in common one chotzer. So that's a chotzer. You have an area that's mukav benchitza, and two batim use that have the shared use of the chotzer. So that's al pidin called the chotzer. Then if you have two chatzeres or more opening up into an area that's mukav, that's called a mavui. That's called a mavui. But on the opening Mishnah in Erevin has that there are differences. With the Rabbanon, there are differences between a mavui and a chatzer. On the level of the Raisa, you don't have a din of a mavui, you have chatzeres. You have the definition of a seer, ear. An ear is you have to have gimel chatzeres. Then Taisa says the chatzeres have to be close to each other. Has to be close. Let's say you have one chatzer in New York, one chatzer in Chicago, one chatzer in Los Angeles. Makes the whole United States into one big ear. It can't be. The chatzeres have to be close to each other. How close do they have to be? So Tosh says, not mistabit to say that they have to be contiguous. They have to be touching each other. Chatzer number two has to be touching number one. Chatzer number three has to be touching number two. It's not mistabit. So Tosh says, you have to give a little room, a little leeway. What could the shear be? So the groping for the shears, I say, probably Shiva Mama Vishirai. Because the Mishnayos have in Maseches Erevin that if you have a city, And then you have houses over here. And then each house is within 70 amas to the other house. So the city limits keep on extending. So you see that that's the shear for tzira for batim. If you have a bais and a bais and a bais and a bais, so the batim amitzturif yachad, that's called iburish alir. Like a pregnant woman is isha mubaris, so the city becomes pregnant. It bulges over here. Because you have bais, 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 so the city bulges over there. So the Mishnah says that the shear, the Gemara knows that from a pasuk. It's a din deraisa. Tosis points out it's a din deraisa that the city limits that the whole din of tchumen. The Gemara has it been again to tchumen. All the people that live in the city have one tchum, and that the whole city is considered kedalat amas dami. And then outside of the city, you have iburish alir, another 70 amas, shivim amas b'shirayim, 70 amas. And then after the 70 amas, then you have alpaim amma, a mil. One mil is alpaim amma. So then the Mishnah has it, when you get to a din de rabbanon. We paskin basically that all of the dinim of tchumen is all the rabbanon. The mechaber paskin like the Rambam and the Rif that tchumen yud beis mil is a din de raisa. So this is negate a din de raisa also. But the Rambam paskin is like the Bali Atosis that all tchumen is only the rabbanon. So the Mishnah only has this shear. Of Shivim Amma B'Shirayim, 70 Amas plus, a little in between 70 and 71 Amas, Mishnah only has a benegir to Dinim D'Rabban, but when you calculate, are you walking Chutz L'Tchum or not, so if the houses keep on continuing, the city bulges because you have a bais, a bais, a bais, and every bais is within 70 Amas to the other bais, so it's all mitzvah yachad, and the city limits keep on going. But Tosis points out, it's negir to Dinim D'Rabban, also the Shir Shivim Amma B'Shirayim. It's only considered an ear. It's a Mishnah in Erevin with respect to Tchumen. Tchumen, we paskin, the Ramah paskin, Spashkenazim, all Tchumen is only the Rabbon and even Yud Beis Mil. And it's a Mishnah in Erechen, but in get to Dinim Daraisa. But in get to Ayoras Amakovis Chomen, Mimosu Shur Benun. Let's say a person has a house that has a Chomen, Mimosu Shur Benun. That's not called an ear. If one person has a house, that's not an ear. You have to have at least three chatzeres. Then you have to have a minimum population also. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. What's the minimum population that you have to have? So there's a machlekes in Satanaim. We paskin 100 people. If you have less than 100 people, then it's not called an ear. Now, 100 people, let's say you have in the airports, you have motels where the people sleep over. But they only sleep overnight. They're a week there. They don't stay so long in the motels. You have to have a minimum population, 100 people who live there kavua. It's also shala, how long is kavua? Kavua is 30 days or a year. The Mishnah Berurah says efiyip. It's a question, well, what's the definition of kavua? But there are rules and regulations, what's considered an ear. So this din, when you get to a person who's a mitzayra, so he's only prohibited from entering ayaras hamakav haschaymas or shobendom. When you get to even hamanugas, you have to take it out of any city. Even if it's not Mukav Chamer Sushabanun, any city in Eretz Yisrael. What's that? What's the definition of a city? Minimum population of 100 people, and they live in Gimel Chatzeres that are either contiguous or they're within Shivim Amah to each other. So that's considered Al Pidin and here. The question, how come the Mishnah in Kalim didn't mention that? Mishnah lists off Esa Kedusha, so the first level is Eretz Yisrael, Mekudeshes Mikol HaRatzos. And then Ayaras Amakav Haschayma have a higher level of Kedusha, then Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha. Why didn't the Mishnah say that all Ayaras have a higher level of Kedusha over the rest of Eretz Yisrael? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, he said that his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, commented on the Mishnah in the end of Zvachim. The Mishnah talks about when they crossed over the Yarden, so the Mishkan was in Gilgal for a while. Then later on it was in Shiloh. Then it was in Ovi Givon. So there's Bama Gedola, Bama Ketana. So the Mishnah has a din that when there was a during Mishkan Shiloh, there was an Isa Bamas. After Shiloh was destroyed, there was a Heter Bamas. And then till they built Yerushalayim. After they built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, so it says Yerushalayim ain't achrei Heter. There's no more Heter Bamas after Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says, though, at the time that there was a Heter Bamas, it was permissible to make a bama anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. The Mechilta says you weren't allowed to make a bama chutz loretz, only in Eretz Yisrael was muta. And the bamas in Eretz Yisrael, so the heta bamas was not only to get to bringing korbanas when you make a bamas yochid, is also b'negia to eating ma'aser sheni. So I think the lashon haMishnah is that ma'aser sheni is nachal b'chol ori Yisrael. So what does that mean? It should say b'chol eretz Yisrael. Why does it say b'chol ori Yisrael? So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father understood the pshat and the Mishnah only in the cities. He can't eat it on the farms. The cities have a higher level of kedusha than farms. You see that it's true b'negia to Eben HaMenugas. You have to remove Eben HaMenugas from all the cities. How come the Mishnah and Kalim didn't say that? That's a good question. Mishnah and Kalim lists off 10 levels of Kedusha, so how come it didn't mention that the Ayaris have a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the farms? Why does it only mention Ayaris, Hamakavis, Chamash, Shur, Benun? That's a good question. It may be Rav Soloveitchik has a Pshashtikal answer on that, but the question is a good question. So how come Pardon Gemara is asking? In Biblical Hebrew, the word lachlotz has two meanings. It means to remove, and it means to be mizaris, to put on. So the Gemara asks, Omle Rav Kana Lishmo, Frek Takash on the ABC. How do you know that chalitza means that the Yevamah removes the shoe from the oven's foot? Maybe it means that she puts the shoe on his foot. That's what he asks. Mimai daiva chaltsanala me al ragla mishlafu, to remove it. As it says by Evan Hamanugas, by Bais Hamanuga, v'chilsos avonim shebohen hanoga, you take out the avonim, the rest of the house you leave. You don't knock it down unless the negat saras recurs, and then you have to knock down the whole house and take everything v'chutz l'machda, v'chutz l'ir. But if it doesn't recur, just v'chilsos avonim shebohen hanoga, v'chutz v'chutz l'ir. Maybe what it means is that the Yavam should put on the shoe on his foot. And how do you know that the word lachalot means to put something on? In Biblical Hebrew, dichsiv, hecholtzu mitchem anashim latzavo. What do you mean, hecholtzu? You should be mizareis, the soldiers from the army, to make them lachemes midyon. That's at the end of Chumash Bamidbar. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu he should put together an army with 12,000 soldiers. Elef lamata, elef lamata, shtei marasar, elef chalutzei tzavo. He should put together an army of 12,000. That's a shaila, why only 12,000? There were 12 shvatim, but Yosef is split into two. Menashe Ephraim, so how come it's not 13,000?
Levi.
Oh. So the Rambam writes that Shevet Levi is not drafted in the army. The Rambam writes you don't draft the whole Shevet Levi in the army. Rashi writes on the Pasuk Kun Faker, you call Shiftei Yisrael the Rabbi Shevet Levi. You do draft Shevet Levi. So Rashi apparently thinks that 1,000 soldiers from Shevet Levi, Menashe Ephraim counts as one Shevet. The Rambam thinks Shevet Levi doesn't. No one's drafted from Shevet Levi, and Menashe and Ephraim are counted as two shvatim. Then he gets to drafting the people in the army.
That's mitzvah. Lachemes reshus make a difference, maybe. Lachemes mitzvah, yes. Lachemes
reshus,
maybe not.
Well, this was a lachemes mitzvah. The lachemes against Midyan was a lachemes mitzvah. That's where the machlokes is. In the Sifrei, it seems like there's a machlokes about this. So the Rambam adopted that position that the whole Shevet Levi is not drafted.
Pinchas was Mizr. Pinchas ben Elazar. Yeah. So maybe he is the Elef. He's Shakum ke Elef.
No, Pinchas was the chaplain. He was the Moshiach Muhammad. Yeah. He probably didn't go in the army. He just gave the drosha. Then he went home. Yeah. That's a question. He once discussed it. Rav Shlomo Levilna was a kohen. He and his brother were kohanim. So he wrote a sefer called an Aruch Chaim that's called Binyan Shlomo. He has another sefer on Yerideya that's called Atzei Al Moigman. It's printed together. So he had a chiddush that kohanim are not drafted in the army. It didn't occur to him, Levium. The Rambam, that didn't occur to him. Said, kohanim, how can you draft kohanim in the army? You have to shoot to kill. And a kohen is not allowed to be metame to a mei, so the kohanim can't be in the army. So then he has the Sefer Chinuch writes that women are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar because you're only mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar if you can serve in the army. So since you're not supposed to draft women in the army, that's the Gemara, the first draft in Kiddushin, women are not drafted in the army. Lashon Labanas Mevet Balchaman, they know. So women are potter from Parsha Zohar. So Shlomo Levilna came up with a chiddush that Kohanim should be potter from Parsha Zohar. And Mimele, if the Kohen is the Balkari and Shul, he can't be Moitzi the Tzibu with Parsha Zohar because. So this was a whole essay in his Sefer, and he has a table of contents. So he writes in the table of contents, that's what I wrote in this essay. He writes it in three lines, but my brother Rabbi Tzalo Vilna was the older brother. Rabbi Shlomo Vilna was a genius, a pal, his older brother was a super genius. He writes about the brother was a genius, but he's also a genius. So he says that the brother told him that it's wrong, so he left it out. What's wrong, he doesn't explain. What's wrong? He doesn't explain what's wrong. So he says he didn't print the essay, but he has in the table of contents, he writes in three lines what he said in the essay. You understand it? There's something wrong over here. Okay. So that's a shaila. If you're going to say the whole Shevet Levi is not drafted in the army, so the Balkari can't, not only can't be a Kohen, can't be a Levi either. According to the Rami, you don't draft Levim in the army. Okay. Anyway, so the simple translation, Hecholtzum Yitchem Anashim Latzava, means you should be Mizareis. The soldiers, they should go fight Melchemes Midyan, and that means that to give them encouragement, to give them something, they should put boots on, and they should take weapons, and they should. So Hechaltzu over there doesn't mean to take away, to remove. It means you should be mizar as them. You should give them encouragement that they should go to the army. So maybe over here, Hechaltzu Nala Me'al Ragla. Maybe what it means is she should put the shoe on his foot. And for the Gemara, no, you're wrong. The verb lachlotz always has the meaning of removing. And that pasuk, Hechaltzu Me'itchem, means remove 1,000 people from their homes. And for the Gemara, Hasam Nami Shlufim Ibeisa Likrava. You should remove them from their homes, they should go to battle. The krav is at the battle. So the Gemara at this point claims that the verb lachlotz in Biblical Hebrew always means to remove. It never means to put up. Correct the Gemara, what do you do with the following pasuk? Vaksiv yachlatzani bi onyoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mechazek the poor man in his poverty. He'll help him pull through. So mechazek means he's going to give him support. Baruch Hashem is going to give him encouragement and support. So you see that the word it's takanat chamishu chum sheter, but it's in Eov. So also, don't you see that in Biblical Hebrew, the verb lachalot sometimes means to put on, not to take away. And for the Gemara, no. And that pasuk it also means to remove. Yachlotz oni. And for the Gemara, bischar onya yecholtz medina shal gehenna. Because the poor man is humble, be onya, he's an onof. So because he's humble, so he will be nitzol medina shogam, he won't be punished. So the word lachalotz also means to be removed. The oni will be removed from Gehenna.
In the
plus example,
min raglo, that
implies
something taking away, but
mem
means to take away.
Right, so that's what the Gemara is going to answer. Since may, it should say, if it means to put, that's what the Gemara is going to finally answer like that. But first the Gemara didn't realize that May al ragla, it says you remove it from. You can't say that she puts the shoe on his foot. That's going to be the final answer. So then the Gemara asks, Elo hadichsib, what about the pasuk in Tehillim that says, Chonim alach Hashem sarvili reyav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends malachim malachim b'sav alach Hashmocha b'chol derachecha. So Ribbono Shel Olam sends malachim to protect us. Like in the parsha, last week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu is leaving Eretz Yisrael, so the Malachi Eretz Yisrael go back to heaven. Malachi Chutz Lo'etz are protecting him. Then he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, so the Malachi Eretz are different Malachim. There's more Hashgacha Protus in Eretz Yisrael than Chutz Lo'etz. So the different Malachim, different Malachim. So here the pasuk says, Chon Malach Hashem Savini Reyev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Malachim to protect the Tzadikim, Vayichaltzeim. What does it mean, Vayichaltzeim? Oh, so first the Gemara thought, Vayichaltzeim, the Malachim or the Ribbono Shel Olam will be Mechazek, the Tzadikim. Vayichaltzeim, he will be Mechazek, the Tzadikim. After the Gemara, no. The word Vayichaltzeim means he will remove them from dangerous situations. The Malachim or the Ribbono Shel Olam will remove, after the Gemara, Bischar Yireyev, as a reward for the fact that the Yireyev Shemaim, Yichaltzeim, Medina Shel Kehenim, The Baruch Shalom will see to it that the Malachim should protect the Tzaddikim, to remove them from a dangerous spot, to remove them from Gehenna. Frank the Gemara, but there's another pasuk, Eloha Dechsiv, and another pasuk in, also in Tanakh. These are many not in Chumash, but the Gemara is assuming that the word Lachalotz in Tanakh should have the same meaning. Eloha Dechsiv Atz Masecha Yachlitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strengthen your bones. I mean, he'll give chizuk to your bones. Chilitz atzamas. Chilitz does mean to remove the bones. If he removes the bones, I'm going to fall apart. Not going to remove. He's going to give chizuk to the bones. Chilitz the Amar Ablaza Zul Mu'ulu Shebi Brochas. That's the most important. That's the highest level of brocha. You should have chilitz atzamas. People have to be healthy. V'amar Rava, what does it mean? What's the highest level of the brocha? Zeruze Garmi. Garmi are bones. Zeruze to be mechazik the bones. They see beferish. You can't reinterpret in this pasuk. Yachlitz can't say your bones will be removed from Gehenna. No, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strengthen you. He'll give chizuk to your bones. So don't you see that the verb lachlotz in biblical Hebrew sometimes means to remove and sometimes means to add something on? So how do you know that the Yavama has to take off? Meiragla means to remove the shoe. Maybe what it means is to put a shoe on his foot. And for the Gemara, you're right. And on the second white line in my Gemara, and you're right. Mashmahachi. In biblical Hebrew, the verb lachlotz has both connotations. Sometimes to remove something, or sometimes to put it on. But over here, the hacha, the verb lachlotz by chalitza, cannot possibly be to put the shoe on. If you think that the pasuk means the Yavama should put the shoe on the Yavama's right foot. She should put it on his foot. It says, Me'al Raglai. She should remove the shoe from his foot. So because it says Me'al Raglai with a mem, it doesn't say Biragla with a base. So it's a giveaway that over here means to remove the shoe. And for the Gemara, that doesn't prove the point. If it would say Biraglai, regal is only the foot. And the din is, not only is it good if you do chalitza when the shoe is on the foot, even if it's higher up, we're going to have to figure out what that means. Ikas rachman et biragla, if that's all it would say, b'chotzan ala biragla, wouldn't say me'al ragla. Hava amina, I would have thought mistakenly, biragla em b'shokalo, if the shoe is has boots, and the leather goes up the leg, and it's and the shoe is tied on to the leg, higher up, a little below the knee, on that bone, so you would have thought that it's no good. If it says Cholzanaloi Biragloi, you would think it's only on the foot, and if it's on the leg, Tegnish. So that's what Kos Rachmana Me'al Ragloi. Me'al Ragloi means the part of the leg that's above Me'al Ragloi. The regal is the foot, and Al HaRegel is the bone, the long bone between the knee and the ankle, that's me'al ragloi. That's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says chalitza is good, menakuva ulamata is good, menakuva lamaila is no good. That's the Mishnah kufala from it. Arkuva means the knee. So below the knee is good, and above the knee is done. What do you mean? Below the knee is good, above the knee is no good. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Taisus. The Taisus is over here on kuf gimel amud aleph. Rashi already had it a few times. But the Tosis wakes up on the Tosis should have said it on the Mishnah. Tosis wakes up over here. Man de mazgi alichsa. So Rashi learns. Rashi claims pshat is halacha lemaisa that a person is missing the bottom. He's missing a foot from the ankle and down. He has nothing there. So Rashi learns he can still do chalitza. He put a shoe on the bottom of, and let's say he's missing half between the knee and the ankle. Half of the foot is missing. He was in an accident, he was in a war, half of the foot is missing. So as long as something is there below the knee, that's called me'al haregel. The regel is the foot, and me'al haregel is in between the knee and the ankle, as long as something is there. Tosis thinks that cannot be. Tosis says there are go'inim who say, like Rashi, u'binyan ezer pirish ha'go'in echad, and the Rabbi Hanano disagrees. Well, they say the Rabbi Tam disagrees. The Ri disagrees. On the first wide line in the Tos Mandamaski, they say, Avalena Nira Liri. So the Ri says, no, if the fellow's foot is cut off, he cannot possibly do chalitza. Not like Rashi. What does it talk about Merakuva lamata, merakuva lamaila. What's the difference above the knee, below the knee? It says no. It's talking like this. If you saw chalitza shoe, so it's like a boot. It goes up above the foot, and then you have straps. You have two straps. The straps look mamish like ritzuas, thin, like exactly like ritzuas. It's painted black on one side. The other side is white, like yellow, like the ritzuas. And then you crisscross the ritzuas on the foot. So, on the leg. So if the ritzuas are tied anywhere over here, in between the ankle and the knee, the ritzuas are tied to hold the foot, to hold the shoe on the foot, that's good. But if the ritzuas go up so high, if the boot goes up so high, and the ritzuas go up so high that it's tied above the knee, so that's not called chalitz. When you chalitz means you have to untie the knots. That's what you had on the previous daf. The Gemara talked about the chumarta, about the fact that you need a knot on the sandal shal chalitza. That was the bottom tesis on kubeis amirala. That the minig is you do both an aniva and a kesher. Make a kesher shal kayoma, make a double knot, and then you make a bow on top of the double knot. Because there was machloikas in the Rishonim. How should you have the shoe holding on to the foot? Some Rishonim said you make an aniva, a bow, and some Rishonim said you make a double knot. So the meaning is you make both. Okay, so you do both. So the chalitza shoe doesn't go up so high. Chalitza shoe goes up, let's say, less than a foot above the foot. Goes up 8 inches, I don't know, 6 inches above the foot. So fine, and then you have crisscross, you take these two straps and you tie it. So the bow with the knot, everything is always tied over here in between the knee and the ankle. If you're going to have a crisscross going up higher and it's tied up above the knee, taiknish. That's what it means, menakuva lamailam. So whether it's like Rashi or like Tosis, whatever, it's a major difference, whether it's like Rashi or like Tosis, but the din is like that from the pasuk that it says, me'al ragloi. The regal is the foot below the ankle, and me'al regal is the bone that's above the ankle, in between the ankle and the knee. So you cannot say, v'cholza nalo biraglo. Biraglo, you would mistakenly think that it has to be only on the foot, and it's not true. Whatever, according to Rashi, even if he's missing a foot, and according to Ri, he's missing a foot tightness, but it has to be tied, it doesn't have to be tied on the foot, it can be tied on the leg. But it has to say al. So the Gemara says, even it has to say al, but it doesn't have to say me'al ragla, should say bi'al ragloi, or bi'me'al ragloi. Should say a base. If it means that the Yevamah should put the shoe on his foot, so it shouldn't say choltzanala me'al ragloi. The Gemara says, here again, the Gemara says, no, because Rahmana biragloi, if he would say like that, Havamina would have mistakenly thought biragloi and bishokolo. On the leg is no good. That's why Kos Rahmana me'al ragloi afilu bishoko. Even over here is also good. That's called me'al ragloi. The Gemara says, no. If the pshat is the way you're suggesting, that it means that you put the shoe on him, Kain lichter Rahmana should say, v'choltzanalo bi me'al ragloi. It should say with a base. Why does it say with a mem, me'al raglash? Ma'amino mishlafu. Obviously, that's what it means. That's what it said. Me'al ragla means that you remove the shoe from the foot. Ma'amino, that's what it means. Now, the Gemara tells a story. The minim, I think in some history books, they claim that the word min is a Rashi Teris Mekat Yeshua Natsri. It's from the original Christians. So the Christians claimed for many, many centuries, till our lifetime, they claimed for all the years that the Jews lost their status as the Am HaNivchar because we rejected Osa Huish. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because we rejected Osa Huish. If the dates don't stim. All the dates don't stim. And it says in the Pasuk, the Ribbono Shel Olam left us. The Gemara in the first paragraph of Chagiga tells that one of the Rabbanim was an expert in debating with the early Christians. So they had one day, they decided, the Christian decided it's going to have a debate in pantomime in front of the governor in Eretz Yisrael. So the Christian looks at the rabbi and he turns his back to the rabbi and goes like this and he walks away. And then the rabbi has to respond, so he goes like this. He looks and it goes like this. So the governor asked, the governor didn't understand what the whole debate was. So he asks privately, he asks the min, what was the pantomime? What are you acting out? He says, he's showing that God walked away from the Jewish people. They lost their status as the Aman Evcha, and goodbye and good luck. So what are the Jews are no longer the Aman Evcha. And what did the rabbi respond to? He says, I have no idea what the rabbi responded. So then he asked the rabbi privately, what was the debate? Was it the Gezok? Was it the Gezok? So he says, he's trying to tell me that God walked away from the Jewish people, and we're no longer the Aman Evcha. What did you respond? No, od yod netuya. The fact that the Jewish people suffer more than any other nation in the world means that there's still a Hashgacha Pratis on the Jewish people. We are still the Aman Evcha. But Shlomo is punishing us now. But he's still, we didn't lose our status as the Aman Evcha. So that's the same Gemara over here. The Gemara tells a story. Hahumina. Omale Hahumina le Rabbi Gamliel. One of the early Christians started to debate with Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Shalom walked away from you. He left you. So what do you keep on hacking? A bris with the Rabbi Shalom. The bris is off. The bris is with us. The Christians accepted Yoshka, so we are down the Yaman Ifra. That's what the Christians said for many years, for over 100 years, from the beginning of the Zionist movement. They wrote in all the newspapers all over the world, in French and in Spanish and in Italian and in English, in all the languages, they wrote the same thing. What was their response to the Zionist movement? That it's never going to happen. It cannot be. Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNevcheres for the Yaman Ifra. And the Jews lost their status as the Aman Ifcha. That's what they were preaching for centuries. And then when they had the Hakamas HaMedina, so it was a shock to them. They were hacking for so many years. It's not going to happen. It can't be. It's against their gloidmen. It's against their animamans. So they didn't recognize the Medina for many years because it can't be. And they were hoping, they were praying to their Avodah Zarah that the Medina is going to disappear. So it didn't disappear. So they had to give a teretz. So the official teretz that they gave was, the Jews only have the modern Israel. They don't have the real Eretz Yisrael. They don't have Yerushalayim. They don't have the Makom HaMikdash. They don't have Hebron, where the Avos live. They only have modern Israel. After Mechemet Sheshet Hayamim, so that Teretz was Arab. They had Yerushalayim. They had Hebron. They had everything. So the day after Mechemet Sheshet Hayamim, the Pope made a declaration, and every single year, every Pope since makes the same declaration. They should make Yerushalayim an international city. Why should you make an international city? It's against their gloidmen. Because the way it is now contradicts their emunah. They said it's not going to happen. They said the Jews have lost their status as the Aman Ifcha, and it cannot be that they're going to control Yerushalayim. Because that's Eretz HaNevcheres with the Amanim. They claim that they're the Aman Ifcha. So finally they had to give in. And after they're still not fully giving in. The Pope still says every year. Every Pope says the same thing every year. They should make Yerushalayim an international city. Kozmadim is under the Turks, or is under the Arabs, or under the British. No one ever said they should make an international city. It's only if it's under the Jews. So the Christians are pressuring that they should make it international, so it shouldn't contradict their religion. But it does contradict. So that's why the last couple popes have said that the Jews go to Gan Eden even if they don't believe in Yoshka. This was a major change in their religion. They keep on changing their religion. The Jews are the Aman Ifcha. They're the Aman Ifcha. We are the Aman Ifcha. How can it be? Aman Ifcha is either a mean to the exclusion of all others. That's what the word Nifcha means, to the exclusion of all others. Yeah. They haven't convinced the Balabatim, though. Every so often, a group of cardinals come to the yeshiva. So on one occasion they were discussing with the Rabbanim and Yeshiva that they divide the whole world into three categories, into the Catholics who believe in the real true religion, Avodah Zarah, then the Jews go to Gan Eden even though they don't believe, Jews is good, and then you have all the other people, all the heathens, all the other Avodah Zarah. So they asked the Rabbanim, do we divide the world into three groups also? So the Rabbanim told them, no, as far as we're concerned, we have the Jews and everybody, you're of the Avodah Zarah. The people are of the Avodah Zarah. We don't recognize you. They say we're the twin religion and we're the same. It's not Judeo-Christian tradition. There is no such thing. There is no Judeo-tradition, Christian religions. It's the Jews have the Torah, and the Goyim don't have the Torah, that's all. So this Gemara is the same thing. The Gemara has over here. So the Apikoira, the Min, was from the early Christians. So he tells him, tells Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabban Shalom walked away from you. They'll come, the Jews will search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lo yimtso. They will not find the Rabban Shalom because cholatz mehem. He walked away from them. Rabban Shalom left the Jews alone. In other words, you lost your status as the Am HaNivchad. That's what they were preaching for centuries, till our lifetime. They were preaching that for centuries like that. Cholatz mehem. So what are you still hanging on to the bris? He's still talking about the priest's bris with the Rabban Shalom. There is no bris with you. So he told them, Amalei. So Rabbi Gamliel tells him, Shaita. He says, a play on words. Pashup shat cholatz mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu walked away from the Jews. That's what it sounds like. The Rabban Shalom walked away from the Jews means that the Navi means that we lost our status, the Jews lost their status as the Am HaNivcha. This is one of the psukim that the Catholics quote. So Rabbi Gamliel tells him back, when you do chalitza, who does the chalitza? The Yavama takes off the shoe from the Yavam. The Yavam doesn't take off the shoe from the Yavama. So it says over here, cholatz mehem, the Rabban Shalom took off the shoe from the Bnei Yisrael. Miksiv cholatz lohem, does it say that the Jews did chalitza? When you do chalitza, so the zika is off. When the brother dies, leaving no children, so there's a zika. Zika means a miktsas ishus. There's a partial ishus between the yavam and the yavam. And then the yavam participates in the chalitza. The yavama does the chalitza. She takes off the shoe from the foot of the yavam, from the right foot. When you do the chalitza, so that breaks the zika. There's no longer any zika, but she has to take off the shoe from his foot. So here the Pasuk doesn't say that Bnei Yisrael did chalitza to the Ribbon Shalom. Miksiv cholatz lohem. Does it say that the Jewish people, the Ribbon Shalom, participated in the chalitza? The Jews did a chalitza to break the zika. Cholatz mehem ksiv. Means that he did chalitza on them. So he says, v'ili yivom adecholtza lo achim. If the brothers took off her shoe, is that going to break the zika? That's not going to break the zika. Here the Ribbon Shalom is the one who was cholatz mehem. That's the Pasha B'Shat and the Pasha Cholatz, meaning he went away from them. He left them. It doesn't mean to take off the shoe. And this Pasha just means that he left them. But that's why Rabbi Gamliel was kidding with him. So he says, if the Yavam takes off the shoe from the Yavama, Nidhi Mashasha is bay. That doesn't accomplish breaking of the Zika. We still have the bris with the Rabban Shalom. This was a debate for centuries. It's the debate for centuries, whether the Christians always claimed the Jews lost their status as the Am HaNivcha. Rabban Shalom left us and there's no more Hashgacha Pratis on us. And the Gemara says, no, Od Yod HaNetuya. The fact that Rabban Shalom keeps on punishing the Jews, we're always singled out, means that there's still Hashgacha Pratis. We are still the Am HaNivcha.
In throughout Shas, we see that Tanayan Amarai knew, there were a kind of Dabal Hashab court. So is it incumbent on us to do the same thing also?
Are they interested in discussing things? Yeah. The most damal hashlap teres only apikoris nachri. Apikoris saw doesn't apply. Apikoris nachri today, they know their shita. We know our shita. We don't discuss anything. Rabbi Soloveitchik printed the guidelines every time the galochim, every time the cardinals come to the yeshiva, so they always start off. We know Rabbi Soloveitchik's guidelines that we can't discuss anything theological. We can only discuss things social. So there's nothing to discuss. what are you going to pack out social things? Nothing. Every time they come with something new, then we always say that that's in violation of the guidelines. Nothing to discuss. They always come with some new einfach that it's not in violation. Yeah. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah. If the Yavama takes off, instead of taking off the shoe from the Yavam's right foot, she takes off his sock. So that's no good. Anpilya. If she takes off Anpilya, chalitzas psulam. So the Gemara, Feg de Markasha. You mean to say, in the Maimra, the Mishnah is telling us, Anpilya lav manohu, and Anpilya does not have the status of a mano. And we have a Mishnah like that also in Shkolim. Mishnah Shkolim, Machzah Shekel. Every year, every Jewish man has to give Machzah Shekel. A minimum of machzah shekel. You can never give less than machzah shekel. The pasuk says Ha'oshel Yabra Ba'Avdala Yamin means no one should give more than anybody else. Everybody gives the same, but they hardly ever, they probably never gave Machzan Shekel. The Bezna has to figure out how many people will probably participate in this fundraising. Not all the people are going to give. And even if ultimately they'll give next year. We need to have money for the karbanas this year. The fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash begins Rosh Chodesh Nissan. They have to start buying the karbanas starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan with the new Machzah Shekel money. So you start collecting from Rosh Chodesh Ador. Like Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag Shalom Vadoshim Yochas Achag. So the Gemara says 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you have to start preparing any mitzvahs like that. Not only a din in Chag and Yom Tovim. Anytime you're going to become obligated to perform a mitzvah, you have to start figuring out 30 days before, let's say Sukkot. Where's going to be your Sukkot? It's going to be Chanukah. Where you going to bench Chanukah lich? The 30 days before, you have to figure out, you have to start preparing in advance. So 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, everybody has to, Bezin has to start collecting the Machzah Shekel money, so that they'll have enough money to bring the Korbanos Tzibur on Rosh Chodesh Nissan for the new Machzah Shekel money. So how many people are going to give right away? How many people will give in the course of the first year? Even if everybody will give, some of them are going to wait till next year, till 5 years and 20 years from now. They're not always going to, not everybody's going to, a lot of people pledge when they make appeals for charities, and not everybody pays the money right away. They pay it out over time. They have to figure out how many months are they going to be from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until next Rosh Chodesh Nissan. 12 or 13. It's going to be a Shana Mubaris. So you need more karbonas. You need karbonas for another month. How much will the behemoth cost? And do you think the price is going to go up, going to go down? How much do you think it's going to cost? And how many people can you rely on to bring the money this year? It's not going to help, it's going to give. And the Beis HaMikdash, they have gigantic pushkas that were called shofars. So some of the shofars, some of the pushkas said taklan charetin, shkolim chadoshim, that's for this year. And other pushkas said taklan atikin. Whoever didn't give machzah shekel, the guy's 95 years old, he never gave any machzah shekel. Every year there was a different amount. The Bezdin would always announce in advance, this year Machzah Shekel is $25.18. And everybody has to give the exact same amount. Doesn't mean you can't give more than Machzah Shekel. I don't think they ever gave Machzah Shekel. It was always way more than Machzah Shekel. The Rambam writes, even if there are billions of Jews, trillions, millions of Jews, and there's so much money, you don't need so much money, you never give less than Machzah Shekel. But they probably never gave Machzah Shekel. Probably always gave more than Machzah Shekel. So the Mishnah says that three times a year they do Trumas Halishka. They send someone in and they take out sacks of money, and they take out the first sack and they put number one, second sack put number two, number three, and then they use that money to buy, just like when you mafresh Truma. So this Truma was left behind this Chulman. So when you do the Trumas Halishka, you take out three sacks of money and you leave behind some of the money. That's also something like Truma. The dinam about shiore, trumas alishka, what's left behind, what do you do with that? And the three sacks of money that you take out the three sacks of money, but preis ha-pesach. Preis ha-pesach means 2 weeks before Pesach, that's Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Preis means a half a month. Then the preis ha-tzeres, 2 weeks before Shavuos, that's only 7 weeks. Between Pesach and Shavuos is 7 weeks. So that's not one third of the year. That's very small, a small amount of time. But they would go in 2 weeks before Pesach, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, to take out money. 2 weeks before Shavuos would be 7 weeks later, and then 2 weeks before Shavuos they would take out three sacks of money, and that had to last until Sukkot. So that was 6 months minus 7 weeks. And then from Sukkot till Pesach was going to be 6 months. That was the longest stretch. So each time they went in, they took out three sacks of money, and they put sack number one, sack number two, sack number three, and they would first use the money from the first sack to buy Karbanos Tmidim and Masafim. Then when they used up all the money, they'd use from the second sack and then from the third sack. So then the Mishnah in Shkolim has the din of Marisayin. Rashi says it's based on the pasuk of Yisim Nikim, the Hashem and Meisah. The Mishnah has it like that. The pasuk says The Isim Nikim Hashem Yisrael. So the Poshem Pshat and the Pasuk means a different thing. When Bnei Gadim Bnei Reuven asked Moshe Rabbeinu that for their purposes, apparently the original plan, the Ramban Chumash says, the original plan was that they were going to divide, they had Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yarden. They were going to divide it into 12 strips like this going across. So everyone's going to get, every sheep is going to get a section in Eretz Yisrael. And then grazing land to the east in Eretz Yarden was better for grazing for behemoths. And then the Bnei Gadim Bnei Reuven requested of Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of having strips like this, we have so much cattle, let us just take an Eretz Yarden. Instead of doing like this, have balls, have circles, and we'll take only an Eretz Yarden. So the Rebbe Shlom said, okay. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, what do you mean? You're not going to go help in the war effort to conquer Eretz Yisrael? So they said, no, that they're going to go also fight. So then Moshe Rabbeinu says, you'll go help out in the war effort to win the battle in Eretz Yisrael. Yisim Nikim Hashem and Yisrael. You will be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael and Yeshiva to the Bnei Yisrael. And we're changing the plan of how we're going to divide Eretz Yisrael to accommodate your request, that you want to have only a share in Eretz Yisrael because it's better for grazing. So the Mishnah says when the Kohanim went in to take out the money, the three sacks of money, Hatorim nichnas, ein hatorim nichnas. The one who does the trumas alishka takes out the three sacks of money and he leaves a lot of money behind. That's called trumas alishka. Ein hatorim nichnas lo be pargut chafus, lo ban pilya. He doesn't wear any garment that he can hide money in, like the tachrichim don't have any pockets because you can't take it with you. So they would walk, they would go take the money for the trumas alishka. They wouldn't have any pockets and they wouldn't have any cups on the bottom. And then though Banpilya, they wouldn't wear socks because you can hide the money. You can put coins into the socks. Vainsoklamba Bamano Lissandal, that's upgirit. They're not allowed to wear shoes or sandals and Feshenich Nosim Mano Lissandal Azar. That's a Pasik, Rashi quotes the Pasik, Mibikir says Miyatchem Remois Chatzerai. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Chagiga, that you're not allowed to Eronim Nichnas Lazara. You're not allowed to walk into the Azara with shoes on. That's why the Jewish soldiers in the army, the religious soldiers in the army, some of them are stationed in the Harbais. They have to watch that there's no riots over there. You're dealing with the lunatics there. So those who know, those who observe the dinim, they wear sneakers. They don't wear leather shoes. Because we hold that the Isser only is if you wear leather shoes. If you wear sneakers, that's not called a mano. So you're not allowed to wear even socks, because when they're counting, when they're taking the money out in the three sacks, Shomus Alishka, you're not allowed to wear socks because you can hide money there. So this is upkiret that they're not allowed to wear shoes because even not counting money. So the Mishnah says, you see from that Mishnah, that Anpilya and Mano Vesandal are two different things. Mano Vesandal is an Issa to walk into the Azar. That's called Mibek Yishesh Miyetchem Remois Chatzera. You're trampling on my Beis HaMikdash. You walk into the Azar as the Beis HaMikdash. You walk in with shoes on, that's trampling. You walk in with sneakers, you walk in with socks, that's not an Issa. You're allowed to wear socks. The Kohanim are not allowed to wear the socks, because it'll be a chatzitza between the Kohanim are doing hakrabas hakrabonis. They can not allowed to wear socks, not allowed to wear underwear either, because the big dekuna have to touch the body and the feet have to touch the floor. You can't have any chatzitza by the Kohanim. But the Israelim are allowed to wear, or the Kohanim when they're not doing avodah, they're allowed to wear socks. But you see that anpilya is not the same as mano. There's no issa to wear anpilya in the Azor. And the same thing you see in the Mishnah. Chalitza has to be v'cholsa na'aloi me'al radloi, and anpilya is not called a na'al. Anpilya is socks, it's only made from cloth. So the Mishnah in Shkolim and the Mishnah over here say the same thing. Anpilya is not called a manol, not for chalitza purposes, and not for the issa that you're not allowed to wear a manol in the Azor. Socks you are allowed to wear, because it's not leather. The Gemara Uriminu, the din is on Yom Kippur, Nila Sasandal is one of Hamisha Inuyim. My whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, whole discussion in the beginning of the last Perek in Yuma, whether the Hamisha Inuyim, all of the Hamisha Inuyim are din d'araisa, maybe on Achilu Shtiyah. The Gemara says in the end of Nedarim that this Anefesh HaShalos Se'une Benichrusa, If a person violates the inuyim on Yom Kippur, he's chayv kares. So Gemara says that's only if he does achilah shtiyah. If he violates the other inuyim, he violates chitza sicha nilas asando, etc., then there's no kares. So this led the rabbi in the Tam to believe that the other inuyim is only the rabbanon. If all the chamisha inuyim would be the raisa, why should you split and say there's only kares on achilah shtiyah, there's no kares on the others? Another Rishonim disagree. The Rambam sounds like he holds that all the Chamisha Inuyim are there, I said. There's chorus on this and there's no chorus on the other ones. Not such a strong kasha. So the Brisa lists off what constitutes a violation of Nilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur. So it says, Uriminhi the Eskastire, you're not allowed to wear Manol, Sandal, and Pilyo. You're not allowed to wear on Yom Kippur. So it says, Anpilo is also. You're not allowed to wear and Pilya and Yom Kippur. Lo Yitalbahem. Let's say a person is bedridden. He can't walk around. So, on Yom Kippur, is he allowed to wear shoes? Leather shoes. He's not walking in the shoes. He's just laying in bed all day long. So, from the Brisa, it seems that the whole Issa Nilas Hasan is only if you wear leather shoes and you walk with the leather shoes. If you don't walk with it, you just put on leather shoes. But then when you want to walk, you take off the leather shoes. So that's not an Issa. Nilas HaSan is only if you're wearing leather shoes and you walk with them. So that's what it says. Echad mano v'sanda apil lo yitayel bohem. You're not allowed to walk with the leather shoes on. Lo mibayis lebayis. Not from one room to the other. Lo mimita lemita. Let's say he's bedridden. So he lays in the bed all day long. He can wear all the leather shoes he wants. But if he has to walk from one bed to the other, he's walking. So to walk with leather shoes, that's not allowed. So that's the kashin. There it says on Pilya is the same as Mano Vesandal for Yom Kippur purposes. And here it says for entering the Beis HaMikdash, it's only walking into the Azara, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes. And on Pilya is Mutter. And the Mishnah says you can't do Chalitza with on Pilya, but you can't do Chalitza with a leather shoe. Isn't it a stira? It's a stira where the socks have the same din as a shoe. So the first answer is Abaye, and Rabbi rejects it. Amr Abaye, the Brisa that says that you're not allowed to wear on Pilores on Yom Kippur is not because it's a violation of Nilas HaSandal. No. If it's not made from leather, it's not called a sandal, and there's no violation of Nilas HaSandal. It's talking that he's going to wear sneakers that are extremely comfortable and has a lining in it, and that's a din on Yom Kippur. You have to suffer. You're not allowed to be comfortable on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara said, Rabbi said, there is no such din. What do you mean? The Gemara in the end of Yuma has such a suggestion. On Yom Kippur, you have to sit, when the sun is shining, you have to sit in the sun. And then you have to sit in freezing. No. You wear warm clothing, you don't sit in the sun, you don't schmaltz away. You turn on the air conditioner, whatever, there's no avera if you dress comfortably. So Abayep has had this Havamina. Amar Abai, Abai's answer was, when the Brisa says you're not allowed to wear Ampilya, it's talking to you, Spekitise, it has lining in it, and the sneakers are very comfortable, Umishum Tainuk, because since it says, V'inisim Esnav Shesechem, you have to go out of your way to suffer on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi says, in the Toaz Adin, you don't have to suffer. Amar Le Rabbi, this is debated in the end of Yom also. Yomar said, but you have to sit in the sun, in the shade, you have to suffer all day, there is no such thing. Amale Rava, Sir Rava argues with him. What do you mean? There's an Issa, you're not allowed to dress comfortably on Yom Kippur if you're not wearing shoes. So there's no Issa. Miyasiri is nothing wrong. He wanted to walk in the street. So he didn't walk barefoot in the street. He wrapped cloth around. You're not allowed to wear leather shoes. So Korach Sudra Akari, he wrapped cloth around his feet and he walked in the street. So you see, there's nothing wrong with being comfortable on Yom Kippur. So that's not the answer. What Abai said is not the answer. There is no such thing that you have to be uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. Elo Amar Rabbi. So Rabbi says the answer to this theory is that two kinds of anpilos. Elo Amar Rabbi. Loi kashi kamat pili shalor kamat pili shabegit. If it's a cloth sock, so cloth is mutter, but if it's leather, then it's asa, then it's considered a shoe. Achanami mistavra. Then the Gemara says you have to say like Rava that there are two different kinds of anpilos. Why the loitei mahachi? If you're not going to say Rava's answer, there's going to be a stira. There are two brises regarding Yom Kippur. Kashi Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. Abai gave an answer, Yom Kippur is different because if it is Bekitise, if it has a lining in the socks, so it's also Mishom Tainik, because you're not allowed to dress in a comfortable fashion. The Rebbe says there is no such din. So he says there's a stira between two brises regarding Yom Kippur. The first brisa that we quoted before says on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear ampilos. The second brisa says you are permitted to wear ampilos. So it's going to be akasha, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. Forget about it. Yom Kippur is akasha on chalitza. So Abai gave an answer, Yom Kippur is different. But there's going to be a stira, Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. The Tanya, one brisa says, lo yitai aladim, you shouldn't walk around with shoes on. Bekur de kaisen, betoch beiso. Not allowed to wear leather shoes. Okay, aval metayin hu, aval metayin hu, but he may walk v'anpilya b'tach beiso. So the second brisa says it is mutter to wear ampilos on Yom Kippur. The first brisa said you're not allowed to wear ampilos on Yom Kippur. So it's a stira. So you may say it's a machlokes hatanai. So Rava says no. Kan ba'pil shel beged, kan ba'pil shelor. Alav shmamino. You see that Rava's answer is correct. Kan ba'pil shelor, kan ba'pil shel beged. Shmamino. That's the answer. That's how we pass on la locha like Rava's answer. And Tanya Kabase de Rava, there's a Beferish Abraisa that says like Rava. You see, now we suggested there's a stira kasha Yom Kippur Yom Kippur. There's still one Braisa against the other. So the teretz was, one is on Piloa Shalor, one is on Piloa Shal Beged. Maybe it's a machlekes Abraisas. Gemara is going to say it's a machlekes Abmeh Nachachamim, whether dafke leather or anything that's naked. But here you have within one brisa gufa. Tanya Kavosa the Rav of the Feirish, not some Kashi Yom Kippur Yom Kippur stir between the two brisa. Maybe it's a machloikas. No. But Tanya Kavosa the Rav says Beferish like Rav. So this is going to be a long brisa that goes around 10 lines. And it says, until you shall or is good. The last line on the daf. The last line on kuf based on the until you shall or is good for chalitza purposes. Then it says, "Until you shall beg it is no good." The fifth line from the top. So it's beferish like Rabbi said. There are two kinds of ampilos. It's made from leather. It's not. It's a shoe, and it's also on Yom Kippur, and it's acceptable for chalitza. And if it's made from cloth only, it's not megan, and it's not acceptable. So that's what they quoted this brisa for. The brisa happens to have more dinim. So let's see, each line in the brisa is another din. The Gemara says, Tanya Kavosa de Rava, the last three lines on Kuf Aleph, Kuf Beis on the base. Chaltza b'manol hanifram. You have a shoe that's a little bit torn. Part of the leather was ripped off, but it's still the schoifes rova regel. It covers up 51% of the foot. It covers rova regel. So then it's good. If rova of the regel exposed is exposed, then it's not called the manol. Rover the regular covered is good. Or the sandal hanifchas, the same thing, a leather shoe that's missing some of the leather. But mekabelis rov haregel. Okay, it holds rov the regel will be held in it, then it's acceptable. And then it says, even shoes from other material, it doesn't have to be leather, even shoes, the sandal shall sham, shall sieve. The kav hakiteya, these are wooden shoes, kav hakiteya, b'mok, other things. So it says, it's also acceptable, it's also good for chalitz, doesn't have to be leather. So Gemara says, that's the machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara is going to quote, that's a machlokes hatanoim. This brisa holds that anything that's megan is acceptable. And most of the Rishonim don't pass on like that. We say megan is not good enough, it has to be dafka shel or. Based on that pasuk in Yecheskel, that it says, "Venolach tochash," has to be dafka made from leather. So that's what the Gemara is going to continue to quote. Let's see. Then the brisa continues. Vacholetzes min hagodol. The brother, let's say the husband died, he leaves no children, leaves no descendants. The husband dies, he leaves no descendants. So his brother has to participate in the chalitza. So the brother has to be passed by mitzvah. That's a Mishnah later, because it says, Kochel yosa le'ish, shaliyivnes be'sachim. So the word ish, we don't always darshan, we often darshan ish v'lo isha, and sometimes you darshan ish prat l'kotten. So here we darshan ish v'lo kotten. Ish prat l'kotten. So if the surviving brother who's going to do the chalitza is not yet bar mitzvah, toignish. You have to make sure that he's a bar mitzvah. Usually, let's say, when a boy is bar mitzvah, they don't check to see. In order to be bar mitzvah, you have to have shana v'simonim. You have to be 13 years old. Yudin moshana v'yer mechod. Yeah, mechod means, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. So 13 years later, on Vav Adar, that's the end of the 13th year. But that's not enough. He doesn't become, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't become bar mitzvah on Vav Adar. He becomes bar mitzvah on Zayin Adar. That's Yom Echad. That's the first day into the 14th year. First day into the 14th year. The Mishlei Melech points out, Rav Soloveitchik used to say this also, like the Mishlei Melech, that a lot of people make a mistake. They think Yud Yom Hashanah Ne'em Echad. Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. He becomes bar mitzvah 13 years later on Ches Adar. So that's a mistake. Zayin Adar is the Yom Echad. If the din would have been Yud Yom Hashanah, it would have been on Vav Adar. He would have become bar mitzvah. So you need Shanim, you need Yud Yom Hashanah by a boy. You need Yud Yom Hashanah by Yom Echad. And you need Shtei Cyrus. That the Shtei Cyrus should be growing on the Eva Ha'erva. So we usually don't check to see if the boy has Shtei Cyrus. He davens Faranamen and he benches Mizuman and he gets an Aliyah, all the things he's supposed to have a Godel. So for all the dinim derabanan, they need a minion for Kaddish Kedusha Boch, that's all derabanan. For all the dinim derabanan, we rely on the chazaket, that whoever is already higil nishanim probably has the boy or a girl. If the girl is 12 and the boy is 13, they probably have Shtei Cyrus. But when they get to chalitza, the Gemara says you shouldn't rely on that. When they get to writing a get also, let's say, you need Edim for a get. The Sefer has to write the get Lishma. So what if it's a young boy? He was just barely bar mitzvah. He was just bar mitzvah. You don't know if he has Shtei Cyrus. So if he has hair growing on his fingers over here, so he certainly has Shtei Cyrus growing on Eva Erev. But if there's no hair over here, if he starts growing a beard already, so you know for sure he has Shtei Cyrus. But if the beard is not yet growing, the hair is not growing either, his fingers are smooth, then to write a get Lishma, we're machmen that you have to make bedika simonim to make sure that he's a goat. That's a big. There's a Magen Avraham has in two different places. Magen Avraham is a commentary on Aruch Chaim. So the Magen Avraham two places writes differently. In one place he writes only benegeti issues like dobish of the erva to write a get lishma or to be one of the edim on the get. You have to check to make sure they have Shtei Cyrus. Or to do the chalitza, that's an inyan of Dovah Shabierva, then we're machma. For all other intents and purposes, even dinim deraisa, you don't have to check. And the other Magen Avraham is the way we usually follow. For all dinim deraisa, you have to be bodik, to make sure that he has Shtei Cyrus. So that's why there's a shaila. If a boy becomes by mitzvah, the Shabbos before Purim, can he lain Parsha Zohar? Because Taisa says that laining Parsha Zohar is a real mitzvah in our Torah. And Mishainim Bukhui Bedovra and Emotia Sarabim and Dechai Vosam. So if the kid is not yet bar mitzvah, he can't be Moitzid Tzibu with the Parsha Zohar. So that's what the Machlaikas can the child who is just barely bar mitzvah, just bar mitzvah that week or a month before, can he be the Balkori to learn Parsha Zohar? But if you assume Parsha Zohar is their Isa, that's the Pashto says he shouldn't be able to. So those who are bar mitzvah usually say pshat lanet, why they are permitted to lay in Parsha Zachar, even though nobody checked to see if the hemshtei says. So that's what the Brisa says, hacholetzes min hagodl. Chalitza has to be the surviving brother who's doing the chalitza, participating in the chalitza. You have to know for sure that he is a godl. Godl means that he is bar mitzvah. You have shanim v'simon. The same thing, the yivama also has to be a gedoyla. Yivama has to be a gedoyla, because the pasuk only says kachal yasal loish shali yivne ish prat lekotan, but the Mishnah has later makshinen ish aliish. Since they're both mentioned in the pasuk, the yivama with the yavam, so it's a hekish. So we say that just like the yavam has to be by mitzvah, the yivama has to be by mitzvah as well. That's a shayla here. The top tesis hakufei on the base has two opinions regarding that idea. Makshina nisha liyish. Is that really a hekish? That's a real hekish deraisa. So it's a real din manator that the yavama has to be a gdoyla, and she absolutely can't do the chalitza when she's a ktana. Maybe makshina nisha liyish is only mid the rabban. Maybe the yavam has to be bar mitzvah. It says kachi yasa liyish ish pat lekotan, that the yavam has to be bar mitzvah. That for sure, that's a din deraisa. But makshina nisha liyish, Tosfos has one girsa. Maybe that's only midirabban. What's the difference? Halacha lemaisa. What is deraisa? Deraban. Difference is, what if She did the chalitza. The Yavam was a gadol, and the Yavam is not yet a gadola. And then the Yavam flew back to New Zealand, and he can't afford to come back again. And she can. He came to sit shiva because his brother died. He came to the levaya, but he can't afford. She can't afford to go to New Zealand. And he can't afford to come back to New York. So do you say that the Yavid b'shas hatcha gadol, would you be mekel that the chalitza of a ketana is good? So the Tosfos has a machlokes about that. If it's a real din d'oraisa, so there's no room to be mekel. It's only a din d'rabbanan, so there's one girsa in the Mishnah that then you would be mekel on that. So that's what the braisa means. Al chaletzis min agadol, the yavam is doing the chalitza has to be bar mitzvah. Remember, my father's chalal rachman, whenever he used to have a chalitza, he would try to have it in the yeshiva. He'd ask the yavam and the yavama, would they mind if they have students watching? So sometimes they don't want. They want to have a privacy. But whenever they don't mind, so my father used to have a yeshiva, so all the boys should see how you do a chalitza. So my father was explaining everything in English until he had to say that we don't have to check to see Shtei Cyrus. So he said in Yiddish, so they shouldn't be offended. So he said, we don't have to check for Shtei Cyrus on the Yavama, because she's obviously older than 35 years old. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, the Gemara Nida quotes, Yimeshna Sein Abahem Shivim Shana. Normal is that a person lives to the age of 70. That's a full life. But normal is 70, al pidin. So once a person reaches Rav Shnoisov, he's already over the hill. He's over 35. He's honorary gadol, even if he doesn't have shtei saris. So my father said in Yiddish, not to hurt the woman's feeling, the woman is obviously well over 35. She was in her 60s or 70s. So he said, we don't have to check for shtei saris because she has a din of a gadolah. He gave the Rav Shnoisov his agav. So that's what the Brisa says. What if they went ahead and they did a chalitza? What if a katan did a chalitza? The surviving brother is not yet bar mitzvah. The one who died was much older, was 10 years older, 20 years older. What if the young brother does a chalitza before he's bar mitzvah? So it's not kosher. The question is it a chalitza psula or is it garnish mit garnish? If it's a chalitza psula, we spoke last week, the week before, we spoke about a reach again. Sometimes you do the chalitza, it's not kosher to be matir the yibama to remarry, but it is called the chalitza that you're not permitted to do yibam now. So what's the din by katan? Katan shecholatz, do you consider it chalitza psula, or do you consider it ainu klum? So the braisa quotes, that's a machlokes hatanoim. So the braisa over here says, hacholetzis min hakatan, what is it, five lines from the top of kuf gimel. Hacholetzis min hakatan chalitzos psula. Means it is a chalitza, but it's a chalitza psula, because ish ksib parsha ish v'lo katan, and but once he did the chalitza, he's not allowed to do yibam. And the Rambam paskens like the other tanoim, not on his daf. It's in a different place. Things later in the Masechta, later, that chalitza's katan is ain't a klum. Even if the katan did a chalitza, after he becomes bar mitzvah, he would allow him to do yibam. So garnish min garnish, like if you do, let's say you did. And Pilyo shall beg it. She took off the sack. It's not a chalitza psula. There's a garnish min garnish. And Pilyo shall beg it. It's not a chalitza at all. So the same thing. Chalitza min hakotan. The Rambam does not. They have a tzion over here. The letter dalet. But the Rambam does not paskin like this. The Rambam does not paskin like this. Right? So chalitza min hakotan chalitza psula. He paskins the chalitza is cotton is ain't a klum. That is nothing at all. Then the top line on the braisa, the top line of Kuv Gimel says, the chalitza is kosher, ben oimeg, ben yoshev, ben mutter, whatever position the yavam is in, whether the yavam is sitting or standing, oimeg yoshev, or mutter, reclining. What's the chiddush? Why does the braisa have to mention it? Why he would have thought it's only good if he's sitting, standing, which way? So that's what Tosfos points out, the top Tosfos points out, that there would have been room to argue the point and say that the Yavam and Yavam have to both stand. Why? Because the din requires chalitza has to have the supervision of a bezdin. And whenever you have Kabbalah, say this, the bezdin, so the Eidim have to be. It says, V'yom l'shnei ha'anoshim, asher lahem hariv, lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara says, Yom Dushnei HaAnoshim is not referring to the Tavei and the Nitva. Yom Dushnei HaAnoshim, because sometimes you have 50 people are the Toveya, and the Nitva is one person. It's not necessarily going to be one on one. So why is that Yom Dishnah Anashim? So Yom Dishnah Anashim is a reference Elohu Eidim, the Gemara says. Ashelahem Hariv, you interpret it as if it said Va'ashelahem Hariv. The Eidim have to, Yom Dishnah Anashim, Va'ashelahem Hariv. The Eidim have to be Ba'amida, they have to show respect for the Bezin. Lifnei Hashem Eilu Adayonim. So that the Oilim is supposed to be B'yeshiva, and the Eidim have to be B'amida, and the Baladinim have to be B'amida. So since Chalitza needs a Bezin, so one might have thought mistakenly, maybe it's not such a mistake, maybe the din really is that they're supposed to stand out of respect. The Gemara says the Eidim and the Baladinim have to stand out of respect for the Bezin. So one, but even B'dievet, there's a Tosis in Zvachim, even B'dievet, the whole din Torah can be possible. If the Eidim don't stand, or the Baladinim don't stand. It's a question, maybe it's possible, maybe the whole din Torah is possible, even B'dievet. So one might have thought that by Chalitza, since it has to be under the auspices, under the supervision of the Bezin, so the Bezin should be B'yeshiva, and the Baladinim should be B'amida. So one might have thought that if you do the Chalitza in a sitting position, reclining position is possible. So Kamash Malon, that it's kosher. So that's a question. Is it only kosher B'dievet? Is there even kosher lechatchila? Do you require lechatchila that the yavam or the yavama should stand? Or no? It's in Beirem of Yeshet Bein Mutter, maybe it's even good lechatchila. So that's what Tosis quotes the Gemara later, has a lashon. Tosis quotes the Gemara, Kuvavam and Aleph says, Amalei Rabchia told the yavama, Biti amoidi, I want you to stand up to do the chalitza. So the girl came with her mother. So the mother said, my daughter is a cripple. She can't stand up. But Rav Chiya initially said, Biti Amoidi, stand up. So Tosis says, we don't have two Pirushim and Rashi. Tosis apparently had two different Pirushim and Rashi. So Tosis says, Anad Gimara Kuvav Amin Aleph. Rav Chiya says, Biti Amoidi, tells the Imam to stand up and do the Chalitza. So Tosis says, Lo Lashon Achash Shepirish Bekuntra, according to one pshat that Rashi quotes, that lachatchila you do have to stand. The Yavam and the Yavam do have to stand because it's like a din Torah. It's like a din Torah. It's not a din Torah. The din is about the dinim have to stand. But the Yavam, if they did the chalitza in a sitting position, it'll be good. But lachatchila they really do have to stand. And then Tesh says, maybe it's not even so. Maybe even lachatchila they don't have to stand. So that's a shayla in Tesh. We pass and lachatchila they have to stand. Then the Braisa has the top line, HaCholetzes Min HaSumah. What if the Yavam is blind? So the Braisa says it's acceptable. Even though he can't see, so why would have one thought, what's a Balmum? There's a din that if the Yavam is a Balmum, Teknesh, what's the Chiddush? Cholezes Min HaSumah Chalitzosik Sheh. Why should you think that it's Psula? The second Teknesh is, why would you have thought that it should be possible if a Summa does participates in the Chalitza? So Tosis says, from the Psukim it might appear like that. It says, V'yorka b'fonav, she has to spit in front of him. So if he can't see, so he doesn't even see that she's spitting. So maybe it's not royal rekika. Maybe that's why it's no good. And maybe since it says, V'yorka le'eni haskenim, the skenim have to be able to see the roka nearer the dayanim. You had the dinner ready. So maybe just like you need le'eni haskenim, maybe hu adinami, that you need le'eni hayovam. So that's what the Braisa tells us, kamash malon, that is not so. If the yovam is a summa, it's also, you have no choice. You can't change it. The yovam is a summa, you can still participate in the chalitz. So that's what the Gemara quoted this Braisa to bring out that Rava is right. The famous and the bright. So the two types of Ampilyashal or is acceptable for Halitza. Ampilyashal Begah is not acceptable. So the same chilek for Yom Kippur, same chilek for Shiva, for Aveiros. Okay. In this week's Sedra, we have a line, we have a pasuk that is very unclear. It says Yankov Avinu is traveling back from Chutz Lortz, there it's Yisrael, and it says Dvara Menekes Rivka passed away and they made up the Kavadika Levaya. Who is this mysterious figure? Dvara Menekes Rivka, who is she? It's very unclear. So the Ramban has a fascinating comment on Chumash. He says, Rivka was brought up in the home of Avdei Avodah Zarah. Her brother Lavan and her father, they were all Avdei Avodah Zarah over there. So where did it come from that she had such Yerushalayim? So he says, it would appear that this was Dvarim Menekes Rivka. She was her nurse. She was raising her. She was the babysitter, we would say. And she was apparently the one who gave her all the Yerushalayim. She was a monotheist. And she was instilling Yerushalayim in her. So then Rivka had told Yankif he should leave because Esav wants to kill him. And I will send a messenger when it's safe for you. When the coast is clear, I'll send a messenger. So she sent Dvorah Menachkes Rivka. That was the older woman who raised her as a tzaddikus. So the Pasuk says that they gave her... means that they gave her a B'kavadik funeral. Some of the Rishonim say on this pasuk, I saw this from the Balei HaTos, there's a collection of comments called Paneach Rosa. They have different collections of Balei HaTos. So the quotes on Rishonim say that in Sefer Shoftim it says Dvorah Shoftas Israel, so Dvorah Hanaviyah was a shofetes, and she sat tachas toime dvara. Why is it called toime dvara? Because dvara sat there, pashup shan. So these Rishonim say no, that's where Dvara Menekes Rivka was buried. That was the toime dvara. Not her, not Dvara Hanaviyah, is this dvara. You have a lot of figures in Tanakh, and that is very important people historically. And we don't give them a lot of time. We don't give them the cover that they deserve. So the Ramban thinks that this Dvorah Menekes Rivka was the one who brought up Rivka to be a monotheist. And she became one of the imams. Okay.
We're going to dive in.